Welcome to Earned Wisdom for Accomplished Female Leaders. You've done it all. You've walked the tightrope of success and accomplished so much in your career. Now what? How do you keep redefining your success and expanding your emotional well-being? Join us to hear talk on mindset, motivation, and your growth in handling the challenges you've experienced both in circumstances and with yourself as a leader. Welcome to Earned Wisdom for Accomplished Female Leaders with your host, Tracy Crossley.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another wonderful episode of Earned Wisdom. Yes, we are here again, and I'm super excited today because I have another wonderful guest with me. Her name is Barbara Mason. So let me tell you guys a little bit about Barbara, and then we will get into our conversation. So when it comes to leading female service-based businesses, owners, no one does it better than Barbara L. Mason. As a CEO of Career Pathways Consulting, Barbara has helped countless high-performance female entrepreneurs hire, grow, and retain amazing teams so they can position their companies for long-term success. With more than 20 years of HR experience working for Fortune 500 companies, Barbara has honed her organizational development and talent management skills on the front lines of corporate America. An in-demand speaker, Barbara is often called to talk about talent management. Let me get that word out. Talent management, effective leadership, and how to create an engaging company culture and other important HR-related topics. So thank you, Barbara. I love that. And thank you for joining me today.
Thanks, Tracy, so much. I'm glad to be here.
Absolutely. Well, that makes two of us. So I always like to start off with this question or something like this question, which is, when you were a little girl, what did you want to do when you grew up? Like, what were your dreams as a small child?
Wow, that's an interesting question. I would say, there's many things. I think like most kids, you kind of idolize whatever you see. So it used to be a teacher that quickly, faded. And then it went from, teacher to attorney to attorney to, once I got probably mid-teenager, it was like, oh, I want to be a talk show host. I want to talk. And so when I look back at all three of those things, it does involve talking and it does involve persuasion and convincing. And so I ended up in HR, which is a perfect blend.
I would say so, because I know I somebody actually on my team works in HR, and I know that there's all sorts of stories of things that occur. Obviously, when you have people in a company, people in a group, people together, there's always things. But going back to what you were saying, so it's interesting because you wanted to teach and you wanted to talk, right? And right. Obviously the lawyer part was probably something around fighting for justice or
advocacy. Yep.
Yep. So, and it's so interesting, right? Because when we're kids, I think we're always trying to figure, well, I'll be a doctor, then I can help people, or, whatever that is that really drives us. And so what would you say, came from, let's say, teenage years, college years, what was driving you? What drove you the most?
Wow. I think looking back, kind of what drove me the most was being able to have an impact and being able that whatever I did helped somebody else. And I know that sounds very cliche, but that really was my motivator. I wanted to do something that I enjoyed that was really huge for me. I didn't like doing things that were not challenging. I didn't like doing things that were the same all the time. So challenges, new things, and whatever I did had an impact on somebody else. Those were the things that kind of motivated me to kind of keep going.
I can understand that. I definitely think that most people that are achievers follow that path, right? It's like there has to be a challenge. There has to be something to overcome, whatever that struggle is. And so in your life, what would you say, when you were making these decisions, right? Because it doesn't sound like you started off probably in college going, I'm going to go into HR. So right. When you came out of college, here you are, what was it that made you go, I don't know if that's when you went into HR, so I may be ahead of the game here, but Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's so funny because this is a very strange turn. I actually majored in computer science, which sounds like the antithesis of what I just said. So when I was in high school, I was part of a summer program for minority students, and I worked at NASA, and I had this wonderful opportunity to work there on my breaks, and I worked with a lot of engineers. And so that's kind of how I got introduced to the sciences. Well, they kind of talked me into, you're really good at this. You should major in something like that. And so I did. I liked it, and I was good at it, right? And so I got into my computer science classes. Fast forward, where I'm in my junior year of college now, majoring in computer science, and it just wasn't fulfilling. Like, I could do the work, and I liked it, but as I kept going, I'm like, this is boring. I'm doing the same thing over and over and over. And literally in my junior year, I walked out of my physics class and said, I can't do this, because I had to go back to, what did I say before? I had to enjoy it. It had to be challenging and ever-changing, and I had to see the impact that I was making on other people. Well, I certainly saw the impact part, but it wasn't challenging and it wasn't fun for me. So that's when I changed my major to HR, and I did it on a whim, meaning I had lunch with a friend. And I'm like, what are you majoring in? Because I just switched my major. I'm 20 years old. And she's like, I do HR. I'm like, what's that? She's like, oh, you get to hire people and fire people and teach people. I'm like, okay, that sounds good. Because again, as a 20-year-old, my criteria was fun, meaning challenging. It's going to help somebody. And it's not the same all the time, right? It interests me. So I literally signed up for the first HR class, which is organizational behavior, and I fell in love. So even though I did it on a whim, it has worked out in my favor, and it's a perfect fit for the things. Again, I didn't know what to call it. And I'm not going to say that's the only career that meets those criteria, but for me, that was a huge turning point as to how I got into HR.
Wow, I don't think there's many people who are in college who all of a sudden, number one, change, from one conversation to a completely different degree.
A
And
completely different degree. I
yeah,
lost
and no,
all, and I was on scholarship. I lost every scholarship that I had because
oh.
my scholarships were science-based, and I lost every scholarship and had to get loans to switch my major. It was a very bold, courageous decision. But when I look back over my life, that's what I've always done.
Is bold, courageous decisions.
Yes. I left my corporate job of 20 years making really good money to start my own business. That's a bold, courageous decision.
Absolutely. So, I mean, and plus the fact that I don't know if I would have had the wherewithal at 20 years old to go, HR, that sounds great. I don't know that I would have. I might have gone, I think I'm just going to go take psychology. And that's going to be, which is what my bachelor's was. But it's so interesting that you just knew. And so, tell us, some a little bit of, some kind of stories around some of the bold decisions that you've made, leading up to you leaving your corporate job.
Yeah, so let's talk about, my decision to leave. So I had been at this point in corporate for 20 plus years. I worked for very good and big companies. I had 8 promotions in 20 years. So I had a very successful career, and it was good until it wasn't good anymore. That's the best way I know how to put it. And I had a life-changing event with my mom passing, and that really caused me to look at my life in a different way. I had pretty much ascended the corporate ladder, and I had achieved all of these things. But Tracy, I did not have a life. I did not have a life at all. I had money I couldn't spend because I was always working. And when my mom passed away, and I was at her funeral, and I heard how people talked about her, I realized that if I had left the world that day, nobody was going to talk about me like that, because they hadn't had known me in that way, because all I did was work. Although I was doing good work, but I was so far up in the corporate ladder that the people that I was trying to help, I was so far removed. I spent my time in meetings in the suite, making decisions for employees that I never got a chance to talk to anymore. And that's the part that I loved. I loved walking the floor. I loved being in the cafeteria and just talking to the employees. I no longer had time to do that. It was a different world being at that level of leadership. And so again, going back to again, I didn't know this was my criteria, but I go back to what I liked it, as a little girl at 20. I wanted it to be challenging. I don't want it to be the same. I want to impact people. And that impact, although I was having impact, I didn't feel like I was having impact in a very personal way. And that's what, and I was thinking, my legacy can't be I worked for these companies. It can't be that. There has to be more that I individually am doing that I can touch, see, and feel. And so I made the decision to start my own business. And it wasn't to leave my job, it was just to kind of give me a backup plan. What's life after I retire, so to speak? And that just sped up a lot sooner than I ever anticipated, right? Because I'm nowhere near retirement age. So that just kind of sped up. And now I have a life, which is so much more important to me than a paycheck, right? At this stage in my life. And I'm still able to do the work that I was called to do that I'm really good at, but I'm way more personally involved, even though I have a team, but I get a chance to talk to my business owners. I hear their struggles and I can offer the solution when it comes to your people. Because I've been there, I've done it, I've done it at a really high level, and it's no different. You just get a chance to do it your way because you have a small business, right? But you still need the structure, you still need the programs, you still need the processes. And so that's a long way of me saying, that's kind of how that was how I made that bold decision. It went back to what is it about my life? Where am I headed? And what do I want to be remembered for? And at that point, there wasn't a whole lot.
No, I can understand that feeling because when you realize you're basically married to your job and your whole job, it's what you eat, breathe, and sleep, right?
Yes.
And then I don't think anybody actively goes into it that way, like, oh, I'm gonna go and work and have that be my life. I
No,
think
it
it
just
just
happens.
happens over, yeah, it happens over time. It happens through, like you did in growing and getting up the corporate ladder. You obviously were like, okay, here's more of my time and more of my time. But it's just something that we do until I think something like what you had, with your mom passing away and that realization. But I think that there's always realizations. It's if we're paying attention or not.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you have to pause enough and be quiet to hear the revelations, see the revelations, and to be at peace, and decide like this is not really what I want it to be. Because you can get caught up in the glamour and the prestige, the travel, the paycheck, the perks and all of that. And that's something, and again, I grew up extremely poor. And so I ascended to level that I never thought that I would. I experienced things that I never thought that I would. So there's some exhilaration behind that, right? There's some excitement behind, there's a sense of accomplishment behind that. But at the end of the day, for me, it was not enough. And so it was very courageous for me to say goodbye to all of that, because there's a level of security, so to speak, within that lifestyle. And then to start my own business, and I never had owned a business before, right? But I'm 6 years in, and that was one of the best decisions that I made. And again, I don't regret my time in corporate. If I had to do all over again, I would still work corporate, and I would still, I think, leave when I did. I don't think I left too soon or too late. I
That's
think
great. That's great.
I don't regret it at all. It was great until it wasn't. And now
Well,
this
and
is great.
I was going to say, I think that any kind of life change that we make, it always comes to that. Like things start to pale, things start to not have meaning, things start
Right.
to, just kind of be the same thing day after day in a sense. And it's just to me, life is short. And I feel that when you spend time doing something that has meaning to you, that's what you remember because there's an emotional aspect to it. When you're just,
Absolutely.
when you're just riding a bike because you know how to ride a bike, there's nothing really emotional about that. But
Right.
when you're doing things that are new, or of course it's personality based too, but because sometimes people are like, I don't want to do something new, but I think we all should. Anyway, it's that point of I need to do something different. So how does your life look now, like in comparison? So you were basically as you said, working all the time. So what are some of the things that you do now that you weren't able to do before?
Oh my goodness, so much. So one, I have a hobby, which I never had hobbies before. And so I have fallen into gardening. I started gardening about 4 years ago, and I now have a whole farm, which is a whole nother business, right? We sell produce. I have like over 5,000 feet of growing space. And so that's what I do in my spare time. So that's one thing. I'm present with my kids. I have a daughter in college. I have a son in high school. This is the first year I'm homeschooling my son. But before that, how things changed, I was able to take my kids to school and pick them up. Like I was there when school got out and not, scurrying in at 6 o'clock before, you have to pay the extra dollar because you're late for aftercare. Like my life, I remember the first time I picked up my son and my daughter from school, and I was sitting in the car line. Because if you get there on time, like you're in the line until school gets out, and people were just like complaining, horns blowing. And I was sitting there in tears because I had never been there when school got out. And while they were upset because they had to wait 15 minutes, I was so joyous that I was there at 3 p.m. It was like something that I'm like, wow. How else has my life changed? Like I have dinner with my family every single night when I'm in town. I travel, I don't know, once a quarter. I don't travel two or three times out of the month. I go places with my husband. My husband is in full-time ministry. When he has a trip, I travel with him. I mean, I could go on and on. My life has done a complete 360. I own my time. I own my freedom. I own my flexibility. I work a lot, but sometimes I'm working at 10 p.m. at night because I've been in the garden till 6, and I'm okay with that. Like I'm loving it
That's
because
called,
it's wonderful.
I was going to say there's a balance to it. And I think sometimes as career women, at least when I grew up and now, I think that sometimes we can feel that we have to be more, I don't want to say present for a job, but we have more, I think, in our backpack than a lot of men do. And it's not to beat men up or make them the bad guys, but it's absolutely, I think, a difference in how we feel like we need to do this, or we need to prove that we can do this, or we need to show up, or we put, let's say, extra expectations on ourselves. But I also think that there is some of that being thrown our way too.
I agree.
So, and that's one thing in this podcast is talking about, some of the things that women are still faced with as leaders. And how perhaps in your, when you were in corporate or even now, how you've overcome some of those things, because it is different for women than it is for men.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think a couple of things, that women leaders struggle with, or just women in general. One is an imposter syndrome. You're always thinking that you're not good enough. You don't deserve X, Y, and Z. I think that comes up. I think women thinking that they have to do it all, still creeps up, and I think, what I say to women leaders is get help. So get help in your business and also get help personally. And so even though I'm at home, 95% of the time, and I'm running a business, I still have somebody that comes and cleans my house. And when I came home, for some reason, I thought, well, I didn't need that, but I'm still working. Why would I not need that? I just work from home, right? I still have people that help around the house, and do the things that can I do it? Yeah, but it's not the best use of my time. Right. And so I think as women leaders, you have to still be okay with getting help. That also means in your business, you have to hire people. You can't be a solopreneur times five. You can't be your marketing person, your HR person, and think you're a failure that you can't hold all those balls in the air. You have to get help. You have to delegate. Right. Another thing is some women think they're not good leaders, right? They don't know how to lead. They may lead only from a place of compassion, but don't know how to do it another way because they're comparing themselves to how men lead. So I think those are some things that continually creep up in women's mindset when it comes to leading their business.
Yeah, I think so too. And I also think that You know, there's a lot of lip service that's actually given to women supporting other women. And what I mean by that is, I feel women can support other women as long as they don't feel their competition.
Right.
And competition is a mindset. I don't think it's a reality. I think it's how you perceive others. And let's say you're one of the only women at the C level, and then you're surrounded by men, and another female comes in. Depending on how secure you feel, you may not want to admit it, but women do this. Like women on social media, female leaders, you know, they will put stuff out there that's like emotional baggage compared to men. Men aren't doing that, right?
Right.
And it's because there is still that feeling of a lack of support or a lack of being on the same team.
Agreed. Absolutely. And like you said,
And
some of it is mindset and self-perceived and just your perspective.
Oh, yeah. Well, I definitely think that. You know, I think a lot of it is perspective. A lot of it is also how, you know, when you walk into something, your expectations of yourself. And if you, let's say, feel I've got to do 20 times the amount of this person here, you're already going to be in a state of resentment. You're already going to be in a state of feeling like things aren't fair. But that's something that you've created for yourself. And I feel like a lot of leaders do that, male and female, by the way, will do that because they feel like they have to differentiate themselves and separate themselves and maybe seem like they have no problems and everything is easy, but that's just not true.
Yeah, makes sense. I agree with that completely.
Yeah. So, you know, this podcast is basically my way of sort of talking about some of these things, because I would see things online. Like there was a study done, and I don't remember who it was by, but it was last year sometime, and it was called the Tall Poppy Syndrome. And it was talking about how men and women will cut down other successful women still, like amounts of like 70% of the people responding, right?
Wow.
And yeah, and I thought that was so interesting. Because you would think we'd be past that, but I think our society still has a lot of biases.
Yeah, that's interesting that you bring that up because it is amazing to me that in 2024 we're still dealing with that. And I think one of the things that may sometimes help with it, I was having another conversation earlier today, is support for women, you know, in business. I was telling the individual that when I became an entrepreneur, it's very lonely because a lot of my friends are not entrepreneurs, right? They work for someone. And so I think being a woman in business, you have to surround yourself with other women in business, again, to help with your mindset, for you to also see that everybody is not against you, there for you, right? That you can be in partnership, you know, in community with other women in business, because I think you need that alliance as women. I think you need
Oh,
that
yeah.
validation. You need that, you know, assurance that, yep, you're on the right track. Hey, I feel the same way. I don't have it all together. It looks like I'm put together, but I'm really not. You know, my kid threw up on me before I walked into this meeting, or whatever the case may be, or you know, my babysitter called at the last minute. And they have mom guilt and all that. So the things that women can relate to, you need that community and you need that support.
Right. I agree. And I think some people, you know, whether they're calling themselves introvert or they're, you know, putting themselves in the position of being a victim, because I think, you know, sometimes people do that without knowing they're doing that. You know, that it's really to look at, I am choosing to be in this position. I am choosing to be looking at things this way. And I just think if we could just all be a little bit more open, with ourselves. And, you know, and go, okay, I'm going to do something uncomfortable. I'm going to find a support team. Because I think, again, a lot of times people don't even know how to go about doing that.
Right.
Or, you know, is this the right one or the wrong one?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I've loved talking to you today. And so before we go, what I'd love for you to do are two things. One is if you have any tips that you would like to leave our ladies who are listening. And number two is where they can find you, and you know, if there's anything that you wanted to share that might be of interest to them.
Yeah, absolutely. So, only tip that I will leave is just a word of encouragement for women leaders and to always remember your why. Remember why you started your business and what your goals are. I think that is the North Star, because in business, it's going to get lonely. It's going to get frustrating. There's going to be peaks and valleys. The revenue is going to be there. It's not going to be there. All things are going to happen. And you sometimes get to the place where you want to give up. But what helps me is remembering why I did this, what my goals are. Can I always go back and get another job? I can. But boy, I don't want to, right? And so I think about the life
Right.
I have now versus the life I had then. And it keeps me going and it keeps me focused. And it's okay to have a bad day. Just don't let them turn into multiple bad days. So just be encouraged and always remember your why. And then remember that people have what you need. I don't care what service you're providing, what product, there's somebody out there that's counting on you to do what you do. Because without you, they can't get it, right? And so just remember, you really also have a responsibility to deliver whatever service or product that you've been called to deliver. So that is my encouragement and my tip for women leaders. In terms of where to find me, I am on LinkedIn and I'm on Instagram under Barbara Mason. I have plenty of content out there. And you can also find me on my website, www.careerpathwaysconsulting.com. And I'm sure all of my contact information will be in the show notes. And then, in terms of a free gift, you go to my website. If you have a team, I do have a checklist or a guide of 15 ways to increase your employee engagement and retention within your company. Because once you hire them, you want to retain them. So that's a great resource to grab if you have a team and/or looking to build your team and your culture.
That's lovely. I think that's great. I really do. I think more small businesses need help when it comes to building teams for sure.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad that I could help. Thank you so much for having
Absolutely.
me today.
Sure. Absolutely. I'm so glad you came. And everybody listening, I hope that you've enjoyed this conversation with Barbara and I. And if you have any questions or anything, you can email business@tracycrossley.com, or you can look for Barbara at her website or on the social media that she mentioned. Everybody take care. And I'll be back next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining today. For more information on Tracy and her programs, and to set up a discovery session, email business@tracycrossley.com. That's business@tracycrossley.com. And go to tracycrossley.com to get your free download entitled Stop Your Inner Dictator. Thank you for tuning in to Earned Wisdom for Accomplished Female Leaders.